I just lit a match.
That's good.
And I don't know why. I don't know what to do with it now because I don't have any water nearby with which to dampen it. And I don't want to throw it in. I'll just lay it on top here and not let it touch the desk. There we go.
Exactly. Why'd you light the match?
I don't know.
To smell the sulfur? You're addicted to sulfur now?
No, it was sitting on my desk. And I'm just... like, look, there's a match box. Why don't I open it? Oh, look, there are matches in it. Okay, I guess I'll light it now. Kind of like I just saw it and I opened it.
Yeah.
And then I just did this. And nice. I just lit another one. Shit.
Okay. What the fuck? Oh, shit.
I don't know why I did that. Okay, no more matches.
Man, I used to love the... I used to do that when I was a kid. This fucking smell of matches.
That smells cool. Beats it. Especially when you poop.
Oh, fuck. Okay. TMI.
Poop.
Burr.
Burr. Hello and welcome to Neutercast. This is the TryGames.net podcast, which is neutered.
We are definitely
neutered.
Because
we have two of our, well, not normally anymore, but used to be normally four members.
We have one less male person.
Yes.
We are neutered, stripped
one
down.
One less testicular. Ethan, yeah. As you know or may not know from last week, has stepped down from his consistent role because work is really bugging the shit out of him.
Because that's more consistent.
So, like, he'll be on when he can be, but right now, technically, it's going to be a three-man show, so if you missed last week, that's what happened. And Al is currently moving to another place that's across the way because his neighbors fuck too loud. So they come in at 4 a.m., like, drunk and high off of coming back from a club or whatever ecstasy they're on, and Al's trying to sleep, and all he hears,
great.
So, yeah, moving was in order.
He got jealous. They were, like, making him and his girl jealous. That's... He was like, we got to get out of here.
And then his friend Rob, who I call Lob because I'm Asian, was supposed to guest today, but he can't make it either. So it's me and, well, me, your host, Austin / Mr. Chupon, and what's your name?
It's a porpoise whale. Porpoise whale, porpoise
Tony
whale
the porpoise whale.
House.
It's going to be an abridged episode. There was short news. Well, I don't know if it was short, but we just didn't put that many news items in the bucket, so it might be short. And then we have one reader mail, and then that's it. We're going to go and pee on your grave. So,
without further ado, what have you been playing, Tony?
Oh, God, this is just... You got to skip me. I'm still playing Dark... Yeah, Dark Wizard. Dude, the game is long. I mean, it's for like... Okay, let me explain it to people who don't know what this game is. It's a turn-based strategy game. Each one of the characters you create gets experience. They change levels, change classes and stuff, and it's very engaging. So it's not like you could just throw somebody out there and you don't care about them. You know, it's not like they're pawns. Actually,
okay.
these people, you know, the units you create, all of them are integral. So if you create, like, a balanced unit of, like, say, a priest, a wizard, or, like, a knight or a ranger and stuff like that...
And the pedophiles!
You actually are engaged in their development, and you will sorely miss them when they get killed. You know, that's the kind of game this is, okay? It's also, you know, you need money for troops... And you need magic for, you know, to summon monsters and creatures and stuff like that. The game has months and days. The days are separated into morning, evening, morning, noon, evening, and night. Okay? So, just think about this. I'm playing this game. I'm in the made-up month of Sella now. Okay?
And Cellulite!
And I'm only up to, say, the third battle with Aqua. And I already, like, almost killed Arachna, okay, who's one of the... They're, like, four elemental bosses. So I'm, like, almost done with one, and I still got Aqua and the other guys to contend with. And I've been playing this game for almost close to a month. That's how long this game is. This is not a game that you can just sit down and say, oh, I'm just going to, you know, play for an hour. One battle takes an hour. Okay, that's how it is. That's how engaging this game is. And, you know, I'm fucking hooked on it, and I've not seen a game like it since. I mean, like, most people say Final Fantasy Tactics will come close to that. Yeah, you can't create, like, 40 different characters and care about them, you know, the way that you do in this game. I mean, like, this is how engaging this game is.
You can create a lot, but not 40.
You could. No, I mean, like, you. What's the maximum on Final Fantasy
Tactics? I don't know, but it's definitely not 40.
No. But, like, in this game, like, oh, have you played Shining Force CD?
No, I have played the other Shining Forces, and I plan to get back into them.
Yeah, you know the general gist. It's like Tactics.
Yes.
Okay, so, but, like, in that game, like, you get introduced to characters. It's not like you could hire characters or, you know, summon them.
Oh, right, yeah,
like
all
that.
These characters are part of the story.
Right.
And in Tactics, a lot of them you just kind of hire.
Right. Okay. In this game, you actually do meet other characters, and they become integral later on in the game as well. Not only that, you could change not only the classes of your troops, but you can actually combine them with other troops. Like, for instance, I had a unicorn. Okay, the unicorn I leveled up to, I forgot what it was. I'm not sure if it was a hippogriff or whatever, but you level up the class, and all of a sudden you go into this town where they say that you can actually tame one of these things and have a troop ride it. So I had one of my knights combined with the Pegasus, and it became like this awesome fucking juggernaut. And I'm like, holy shit, this fucking game is involved. Totally involved.
You know what you should try? It's not as complicated, but it's similar to Shining Force in Advance Wars, is Fire Emblem. Fire Emblem came out for GameCube. There are two of them on Game Boy Advance.
Okay.
And I think that's all that came out in the States. There's one that came out on Wii, but I think it's supposed to be pretty much the same as the GameCube one, so you could go either way.
Okay.
Not the same as in it's the same game, but it's very similar. But yeah, okay. That or Advance Wars also. I mean,
now
but,
how do you feel about Advance Wars? Because I get mixed reviews on it.
Mixed reviews, really?
Yeah.
I universally see it's at least good, if not great. Like, okay. And then other people say it's superb. I haven't played the newest one.
Mm-hmm.
I heard that they kind of neutered it a little bit to make it simpler.
Oh,
but at the same time, they kind of made it like they made the storyline kind of like dark and, oh, well, war is bad and, like, you know, depressing. And it's like, you're kind of playing.
That's the one I was talking about with the mixed reviews. Yeah.
I mean, it's still like every review that I've read, like, even the ones who are disappointed have said that it's still Advance Wars and it's still really good. It's just not as good as the other ones. So I'll have to find out for myself. I don't know. I don't like what I'm hearing about what they simplified, but it doesn't seem like the thing that would make me like, oh, this game is bad. I'll just be, you know, I'll just be a little disappointed, but I'll still like it. I mean, that's what it sounds like. Is that all you've been playing? Dark Pissard?
And Lunar 2.
Okay. There you go.
And I, you know, got three of my characters to level 99. I'm almost done with the game. Yeah. Just for everybody to know, if you ever played Lunar 2, Ice Mongrel. Get an Ice Mongrel. They give like $35,000. Actually, for one character, it's 65,000 experience points. And if you get two of them on a screen and are able to kill both of them, you got it made.
Are they hard to kill?
Yeah, they escape a lot.
Because, you know, oh, they escape. I hate that shit. Because, I mean, you know how, like, sometimes you can find, in any RPG, you can find, like, a small area where, like, these really, really generous enemies come up, and they're not that hard to kill, so if you find them, then you're like, oh, shit, awesome, and you just sit there and you grind away.
Well, it's kind of like Final Fantasy, you know, the Cactuars?
Yeah.
If you find a Cactuar and you're able to kill a Cactuar, you get, like, a fucking, you know, King's Bounty of experience or other shit, you know, but they're very hard to kill.
In fucking Dragon Quest, they have these things called Metal Slimes.
I remember the original Dragon Quest. Jesus.
Yeah, and the one that I was playing was the DS one for review, and the fucking Metal Slimes, like, they give off, like, and of course this kind of doesn't sound like anything because you have people who are listening probably don't have anything to compare it to, but let's say that I'm at a point where I'm getting, like, about 1,000 experience from every battle. 1,000. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's say 20 battles or so is giving me a level up because, you know, that's how many. So if I beat a plain old metal slime, that mm-hmm. gives me, I don't know, 8,000. I can't remember the number, but it's something mm-hmm. up there. If I beat like something called a liquid metal, which literally looks like a puddle with eyes, that gives me like 11,000. So mm-hmm. that does it by 10. And then
but
if
like
I beat...
you need that sword that cleaves metal to yeah. do that, right?
Yeah. But then if I beat a king slime, which is like a slime that has eaten way too much and is obese, that I think that thing gives me like 30 or 40,000 or some shit like that. It's insane. But the problem is that every time you hit them, it does like one damage.
Yeah.
And even though these slimes take like, even though like the slime, the small slimes take like 4 hits and the liquid metal slime takes like 10 hits and then the king slime takes an inordinate amount of hit, like they run away just like that other enemy that you're talking about. They just run away after like 3 hits. They're like, yeah, they run and you're like, oh, fuck. And you spend like so much time mm-hmm. And they're so rare. There's this one area called the garden in someone's castle that that like they're just kind of sitting around and you can go up to them and smack the shit out of them. But you're timed. So you have 2 minutes to beat like as many as you can. Uh-huh. And half the time they run away. So you end up like wasting so much time inflicting so much damage on this thing that ends up running away and not giving you anything at all.
Yeah,
and it's really frustrating.
Sucks. Yeah, that does suck.
So I ended up learning a skill that does like a random critical hit. And that affects metal slimes too. So that kind of helped me so that it wasn't as frustrating. But goddamn.
This
like,
sounds considerably different from the Nintendo version.
Yeah, I mean, they I don't know. It sounds like they made it slightly easier because you don't have to find that sword.
Oh, Edric's sword? You don't have to
find
it?
Yeah, you don't have to find it in order to do damage to them. I mean, you could still hit them. You could still kill them without using any special things. You could still kill them with a regular sword as long as you're strong enough. It's just that you have to hope that they don't run their asses off.
What's the maximum level on this new game?
I do not know. I didn't get that far. I didn't get that high enough.
Oh, okay. Because I believe on a Nintendo it was like 25. I was like,
yeah,
that's it.
I would assume so like that. Like, it's probably like 99. Like console and portable RPGs nowadays go up to like 99 and shit. The ones that keep level caps are massively multiplayer online ones. I don't know. They probably have a good reason for it, but I think most of the console ones nowadays is like 99. I mean, that's what the not the original Final Fantasy, but like the first Super Nintendo one went up to 99 if you needed to, and then everything else was just like, oh, let's go to 99. So, let's see. What have I been playing? I've been playing this... Oh, RPGs! This RPG
how about
for the
that?
DS called... I don't know how to pronounce it. It's either Etrian or Etrian. E-T-R-I-A-N. Odyssey.
Okay.
And it takes it back to the first-person type of thing.
Okay.
Where you're crawling... It's kind of like a dungeon crawl. It looks like the original Phantasy Star in that sense.
Oh, God.
Where it's first-person. But it's... Oh. It's not like that. It's rendered in 3D and it's got like colors, so you can actually tell that you're actually walking around somewhere instead of a bunch of lines. The battles play out just like Dragon Quest. I'm kind of getting tired of that. Like, I know it's old school, I know it's retro, but you know what? If I want a Dragon Quest, I'll go play Dragon Quest.
Right.
Like innovate a little bit, but
yeah. Either that or show the character at least.
Yeah. But, like, aside from that, like, that's not so great. But, mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of customization. It's really hard. Like, I started it out, and I had to, after about half an hour of playing, I had to restart the game because I realized that I would not get anywhere. Because here's what happened. I started out,
right,
and they gave me a bunch of cash. And I'm like, oh, shit, money. So I'll go out and I buy all these weapons for my guys.
Right.
Okay. So then I go into the dungeon for the first mission. And these butterflies, okay, butterflies are like swiping the shit out of my characters. I'm like, how's a butterfly doing this? So they're killing my ass off. And whenever I defeat enemies, they're not dropping gold or anything. They're just dropping like trinkets, like wings and insect eyes. And
do you sell those
and
for
teeth.
Money?
See, you can. But at first, I was like, what the fuck do I do with these?
Right. Later on, they'll probably put it as an implementation.
Yeah,
somewhere.
So
could,
I was like, I was scared. Yeah, exactly. So I was scared to sell them. So I was like, what the fuck am I going to do with these guys? So I'm getting no gold. I'm getting like 2 experience for every battle. And I'm getting like the shit beat out of me.
Right. And you need to heal. So you need gold.
Yeah. Exactly. So, and like, yeah, I'm doing damage, but they're doing damage at the same rate. So I'm like, fucking A. So I restart the game, and instead of buying weapons, I buy a lot of armor instead. And that was a trick. You know, that was a trick. Like, I started surviving for longer periods of time. And then I figured that, like, if you sell these trinkets, not only do you get gold back, but the shopkeeper who you sell them to uses them to make new items available in the store.
Oh, okay.
So then I'm okay, that's what they're used for. So now I'm not scared to sell them. So I start selling them, and you know, now I'm kind of on my way. It's still hard because every time you level, you get a certain amount of skill points to level up like a whole shit ton of like skills and attributes and all that shit. And most of the time you get like 1 point per level. So it's like, great. So I just spent...
You know what that is? That's just like Final Fantasy XII. Exactly like it.
Oh, you only get one gambit piece every level?
No. Whatchamacallit, when you kill an enemy, you don't get any gold. You don't get any gold. You get, like, wolf fangs, and you're like, what the fuck is this for?
Okay.
Yeah, you trade them in, and eventually, if you trade enough in, the shopkeepers give you, like, a bazaar. Okay, which means that it's a unique item that you could buy from them. Usually it's pretty cheap, okay? Like, two potions and antidote. Who cares?
Okay, you know? I see.
You know, shit like that. But, like, eventually, if you get, like, rarer items, they'll give you a bazaar which has, like, useful shit. Like, poison arrows or some shit like that. You know, like, you know, just different stuff. So what you're describing is almost exactly the system of bartering as Final Fantasy XII has.
That's interesting. You know what was kind of cool, even though I hated the game that I remember? In Final Fantasy VIII, you got a salary.
Oh, okay.
Did you play VIII?
No, never had. Never VIII? No.
In VIII, you get a salary, so you don't like you get the normal shit from enemies except for gold or I'm sorry, for gil, and. Okay. So, literally, when you're walking around and, like, talking to people and, like, fighting and shit like that, at random intervals, not random, like, they're set, but it seems random, like, at those set intervals, you just get a huge lump sum of cash.
That's, like, Grand Theft Auto.
Is that how it works? They give you, like, a...
Yeah, like, if you whatchamacallit, like, for instance, in the, PSP versions of them, if you collect a lot of places, you know, properties and stuff like that.
Oh, it'll just bring in the money, I see.
Right, exactly. You get it at a set time each day, you know, so once that time comes, you get a beeper and it says how much has been dropped into your bank.
Because the way that Final Fantasy VIII was set up was that you were, you're a soldier in this organization called SEED, or CD, or whatever, I don't know what the fuck. But as a soldier, you know, you move up in rank. This is just part of the story, right? You move up in rank, and the higher rank you are, the more you get paid. And I could be wrong. I'm not sure. I forget if the rank was based on the story or based on what level, how many levels you gain. So if you were every 10 levels you raise in rank, or if it was like the story was like, oh, you got promoted. And, you know, I totally forget.
Right.
But I hated that game, though, otherwise. I feel like I should go back and give it another chance, though, because, I mean, this was at a
stage... That's how I felt about 10, and we know how that turned out.
Yeah. But the difference is that I do like 10. So. But, yeah, this Ichiran Odyssey shit, it's difficult, man. And, like, one skill point per level, it's fucking kind of hard, because you're like, okay, I want to upgrade my spells, and then I want to learn this new thing. And it's like, I can only do one of these every 25 minutes, because that's how long it takes to level up. And it's I don't know if it's bad yet. If that's a bad thing, like, I have to, you know, keep on playing to see if that really gets on my nerves. Because right now, I'm just grinding. I'm going back and forth between the same two floors and gaining levels and getting gold. And I know that's what old-school RPGs are about, but I kind of feel like unless you make it fast, like Final Fantasy 2 or 3 or something like that, it's kind of like – or Breath of Fire even. Like, it's kind of at the point where it's like –
Can we
advance beyond this? I mean, I don't mind fighting a lot of battles. What I mind is fighting a lot of battles by going around in circles, just trying to pick up enemies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like line this path to my goal. All right, line the path to my goal with a lot of enemies. Be generous with not generous, but like at least throw us a bone with a save point or two.
Yeah.
Give us a free healing item so that we feel like we're going somewhere.
No, I totally understand what you mean. Yeah.
And that's what I think, you know, I just don't like going around in circles anymore. But
not only that, they usually save that kind of level grinding for the, you know, latter parts of the
game. Yeah, exactly. Like when you're up there and you're like, oh, I just want to get even stronger.
Right. Or either that or like, okay, your skills have got you this far, so, you know, this far, but you're going to have to do better, you know, for the next half of the game. And you're right. Like, oh shit, these enemies are just out of control. So right. I'm gonna have to do level grinding if I didn't do it before. You know what I'm saying? Like, me, any RPG I get, I always grind.
Right,
always.
Right, yeah.
Always.
Because you know what's gonna happen.
Exactly. Well, not only that, even if I don't know what's gonna happen, I always grind. Like Final Fantasy XII, the reason why it took me so long the first time around, not only one, did I not understand the whole, you know, the system and how it works and stuff like that. Like, later on, you get, like, different things to do, gambits, you know, summonings and stuff like that. And I was like, shit, I just wasted all my time doing different shit. Okay, now I know what's coming up. Now, you know.
But now you gotta grind.
Yeah, exactly. But before that, I grinded. But I grinded in the wrong direction. Once you find out where it goes, you're like, okay.
Oh, because you chose the wrong path.
Right, exactly.
Oh,
so,
fuck.
So, yeah. But, yeah. And so, I spent all that time grinding, you know. And, you know, that's what I do at every game.
Right.
But eventually, I find out exactly where my mistakes are. And what I do is I reset the game, you know, start all over and do the same things. But now I know the direction I'm going.
Right. And here's a question for you with Final Fantasy XII. Gambit board versus the sphere grid. So, you found that you're going in the wrong direction, so you kind of doubled back, or did you?
Yeah.
Or, okay. So,
well, not double back necessarily.
You just move across.
Yeah. Let me remember what I did with this thing. Yeah. Whatchamacallit? Okay. So, whatchamacallit? Like, you get different gambits that you could do. Like, whatchamacallit for life or counterattacks, or if you get attacked by this magic, you'll do this and stuff like that. So that's what I was going for. I was like, okay, I need to you know, put anti-poison on this one, or I need to, like, because later on you're going to get, like, poisoned all the time and you're going to be like, fuck,
right
the hell, you know. So I, you know, I do these different put, like, different gambits on them and stuff, and eventually I open more slots so they could put more gambits.
Right.
Okay, so and that's what I didn't do before. You know, I wasn't opening slots.
Oh.
I was like, oh shit! I was like, I got all these fucking cool things to do and no way to put them.
Right, because it's like in 10, mm-hmm. like the sphere grid. If you choose to go the way of a magic spellcaster,
right?
Like if you keep on moving your piece in that direction, if you then said, okay, now I kind of want to build up my attack skill, you had to move it back the way around.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You could do it if you wanted to, but, like, they were like, look, you got to this system is so that you understand that you're probably going to be specializing in one thing. So if you want to do this one thing, make sure you want to do it. And I heard that in 12, it's easier, though not easy, but easier to say, look, I want to kind of also make my spellcaster strong in weaponry, so I want to unlock that. So it's easier that way?
Actually, 12 is, okay, you remember how you spoke about the sphere grid, right?
Yeah.
Okay, now with the sphere grid, the thing that I hated the most about it is if you do go into an area that you're like, oh shit, I have, you know, fucking, you know, buyer's remorse right now.
Yeah.
Okay? The whole thing is you had to reset your fucking game in order to get those points back.
Okay.
Okay? You know, because you get a limited number of moves depending on how many, AP points or whatever?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so depending on how many AP points you spent to get to a certain area, which looked attractive before, but now you see everything around it, and you're like, oh, but this is the only thing that's worth it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So now you're like, oh, fuck, I could have saved this for another time. Now you got to reset the game. You know, they don't give you those points back. This, however, is like, you know, you can grind and get those points back and stuff like that. But, like, you really don't have buyer's remorse. You could either use these skills or you can't. You know what I'm saying? Like, for instance, if you're going to put, like, a skill for, like, the main character to use, like, a bow or an arrow or stuff like that, okay, which pretty much anybody on the... It's like anybody could use the same skills just so long as they have the number of points to spend for it, right? And if you do choose this thing, you'll find out that, you could use the bow, but he's not proficient in it. So, okay. Okay, but he still has his sword skills and stuff, and it really didn't, like, change the game. All it did was just add another option, so if you have, like, a flying enemy, you could equip him, you know, if you're in an area where, like, it's mostly flying enemies and stuff,
right.
You could equip him with the bow, okay? It's still strategy. You really don't have buyer's remorse on many of these things, you know? Like, some of them you do, like, some of them are just crappy, like, you know, buying axes and stuff like that. I'm like, when the fuck did I use an axe? You know,
right.
So but you know not to buy those things unless you come into a contact with, like, a rare item and you're like, oh shit, I got to use this. What do I need to spend to get this to work? You know,
okay,
that's the
I
kind
see.
Of thing.
Right.
You know, that's the kind of thing. In Final Fantasy X, it was like, okay, I'm getting my ass kicked. My characters are not strong. What do I need to get to make them stronger?
Oh, okay, shit, it's all the way on the other side of the
board.
Yeah,
exactly. Exactly.
Now I
got to
go back
fuck.
And grind around the save point and move the piece all
exactly.
the way around.
Exactly. You know, and that's the fucking difference between both games. I fucking hated 10. I don't know if I told anybody this.
I don't think anybody knows this quite well enough yet. I don't think they got it from your bag of shit.
I'm not sure if I mentioned this in a cast before, but... Oh, man. Anyway, I'm sorry for taking up time with that.
All right, let's move on to the new. What a wonderful world. Taking the news.
Oh, God.
Let's see. We are at the news, and this is going to be a quick news section, and this starts off with an interesting one. Jack Thompson.
Jack Dickhead
defends
Thompson.
Mass Effect?
Intriguing. Intriguing.
This is coming from an email exchange between Brian Crescente and Jack Slompson. Over that whole Mass Effect shit balls that happened last week or the week before. And so Brian on Kotaku writes, believe it or not, Jack Thompson and I email sort of regularly. Granted, he usually emails me bizarre over-the-top press releases, which I often don't post, and I respond with disjointed quotes from movies, which I hope will one day remove that last wobbly hinge of his. No luck yet. Last week, Jack emailed me a press release entitled Grand Theft Auto 4 to be released April 29th. Culture War begins now! And after my typical poking, I got onto the topic of the Mass Effect controversy and was shocked literally out of my socks to find him defending the game. Sort of. Apparently, even anti-gaming crusader Jack Thompson found self-help author Cooper Lawrence, who he refers to as a man,
uninformed,
and the entire controversy contrived. Hello, kettle! Calling the pot black. So, here's the email exchange. To Brian from Jack, immediate press release, and there's a press release. To Jack from Brian, I like your new glasses. To
Brian
from
Jack.
Yeah, to Brian from Jack. Well, as usual, you're grasping at the real news here.
Jack to Brian.
And then, yeah, for Jack to Brian, I'm surprised you haven't been looking into Mass Effect. And so he provides a link to that whole controversy. And so Jack responds, why would you be surprised? I don't see any problem with it. The guy who shut his mouth off about it had no idea what the hell he was talking about.
He didn't even see it. He probably saw like the thing, saw Cooper. And that's what I'm going to say it again. Who names their fucking daughter Cooper?
Cooper. Hanging with Mr. Cooper.
Fucking Cooper.
And then Brian is like, you mean you're okay with Mass Effect? And Jack goes, of course, this contrived controversy is absolutely ridiculous. Report that, why don't you? So, yeah, I mean, Jack is still an ass, but this is surprising.
Was it made by 2K?
Actually, no, it wasn't.
Well, there you go. That's why.
This is true.
Oh, man. Well, one thing that I don't think he even saw the thing. I think he probably read the thing because you can't mistake Cooper, unfortunately, by name you can. You can't mistake her for a man at all.
What I'm thinking happened was that, like, that's just the way he talks. Like, you know, the guy's fucking insane.
He is insane.
You know, he sees a girl walking down the street, like, you know, looking like a homeless bitch. He's going to be like, he'll probably turn to you and be like, dude, what the hell's wrong with that guy? You know? He'll mean girl, but...
Oh, my God.
Who knows? Maybe Jack Thompson is secretly Asian. If you don't know anything about the Asian language, you know that we don't distinguish by gender.
Yep, so... that's true. You know what they say? This was a nice saying from Mark Twain. And I'm
Mark Twain!
He said, it's better to... look stupid and keep your mouth shut...
Than to open your mouth and
look like Cooper Lawrence.
Cooper Lawrence!
Cooper!
You know what? Let's go on Amazon.com right now and see what her book is at.
Okay,
because,
sure.
Like, the last time I checked, everything was one star.
Yeah. And it was like 25 different people who reviewed it, right?
Yeah, let's see. Then they deleted all the reviews. It's still at one star.
It's still at one star.
And it's funny, when I Amazon.com Cooper Lawrence Mass Effect comes up as the second search item.
Really?
So, yeah.
She made it famous, see?
Yeah, there you go, you bitch. You did the wrong thing. Except, okay.
What's the matter?
Let's see. Yeah, they got rid of a bunch. Because the latest ones are from... The latest ones are from... Oh, wait. This is most helpful first. So let's go to newest first.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, January 30th was the last one that someone's written. This is written by Laren. Oh, there was a great one.
Okay.
That I wish that I could find because it was like... It was like, this book is wrong because it's blue. I think that was... That was an... shit. It was one of her books that was blue.
Yeah.
And she was like, I have never read her book, nice. But it is very, very bad, and I don't believe the psychology in it, because it's blue. And if you know anything God. About books, you'll know that a blue book is not really... Oh, here we go. Here we go. This is a book review for Been There, Done That, Kept the Jewelry, : Find True Love, Turn Your Tarnished Dating Path into a Brilliant Romantic Future. And the review goes, if it's still up there... First, I believe that a good book would never have a blue cover. I honestly think that books with blue covers are an insult to literature everywhere. I also noticed that this book that has a title that's way too long and thus makes the demographic it seems this book is geared for as having to try harder to have valid books made for them specifically. Thus, it mischaracterizes women as people who want to gold dig, so to speak. Mm-hmm. I have never read this book, but I heard a rumor that it did all that, and it's blue.
So this person did the Cooper Lawrence thing.
Yeah, oh, exactly.
Somebody told me.
It's blue.
Somebody told me. I could see it's blue, but somebody told me it was bad.
Exactly.
What an idiot.
Exactly.
Oh, Cooper.
Fucking great.
Dumbass.
Move on to the next story, which might be a little bit obtuse to some, mm-hmm. but it's particularly interesting for me. Brian Crescente reports... Valve offers up Steam Online to developers for free, and the gist of it is that Steamworks is what Valve uses to run their Steam program. If you don't know what Steam is, it's basically an online service / digital store all in one. So when you play Half-Life 2 on your PC, you log into Steam, mm-hmm. and then your username comes up on – you can have a friends list, kind of like Xbox Live. You can have a friends list, and when you log on to Half-Life 2, your friends see that you're playing Half-Life 2. You can also download games from there. You could download the entirety of Call of Duty 4 from there. It's getting a lot of good games for distribution up on its store. And they kind of made, I heard, and I haven't seen this for myself, but they kind of made an achievement system similar to Microsoft's achievements. It's not the exact same thing, but it's similar. In order to give you incentive for playing the game and figuring out these different things. Right. And it's actually on the PC, even though Games for Windows Live has gone live, Steam is actually the better online choice because it's more well put together and it doesn't cost anything to use.
Right.
No $50 a month. You still get achievements. You get friends lists. You know, everything's on the store right there. And it's every time I listen to, like, people talking about the two services, especially on the Games for Windows podcast, like, it's funny because it's named the Games for Windows podcast for Games for Windows magazine. And the guys are just like, Steam is just so much better. And the editor-in-chief was kind of laughing when they started the last podcast because he said, like, you know, I kind of wanted to call this Games for Steam podcast, but then I'd get fired. Because Steam is so much better.
Oh, so, shit.
So what Valve is doing now is it's offering those development tools to developers for free. So any Joe Blow developer can use Steam to distribute the... let me see. Let me actually read this before I start talking out of my ass.
Mm-hmm.
Developers and publishers are spending more and more time and money cobbling together all the tools and backend systems needed to build and launch a successful title in today's market. Steamworks puts all of these tools and systems together with one free package, liberating publishers and developers to concentrate on the game instead of the plumbing. As more developers and publishers have embraced Steam as a leading digital distribution channel, we've heard a growing number of inquiries regarding the availability of the platform service and tools. Offering Steamworks is part of our ongoing efforts to support the needs of game developers and our publishing partners. And here's what it offers. Real-time statistics on sales, gameplay, and product activation. So they can see how many people are buying your game. Mm-hmm. You know, usually people go to NPD and see, okay, how many people bought this game from the store.
Right.
If I'm
right.
Capcom, I need to know, shit, how many people bought Devil May Cry 4 in November? The NPD will tell me, and then they buy the information from the NPD. It's not like they wait with us for a month for the information. They can easily buy it because, you know, they're the company. So they buy that information. And unless you're Walmart, in which case you don't give that information to anybody because you're Walmart and you don't have to do anything. If you're an independent developer and you don't have the cash to buy this marketing info, Steam will say, hey, look, this is how many people bought your game on Steam. There you go.
That's great. Yeah, that's great.
State-of-the-art encryption system. Stop paying to have your game pirated before it's released. Steamworks takes anti-piracy to a new level with strong encryption that keeps your game locked until the moment it is released. So I'm assuming that this – I don't know if this will circumvent the other tools like oh shit, I forgot what Ubisoft and Sony use. But Ubisoft and Sony use these authenticity tools that when you inserted your disc, the game would tell whether or not your disc was phony. But the problem was that it like bogged down your system and did all this crappy shit to the system. And Sony was infamous for installing like a rootkit or whatever you call that, like on your PC that kind of monitors what you do. So that if you try to rip music from a Sony CD or bootleg musicians that are to the, that are signed onto the Sony BMG label, like they could see what you're doing and all this crazy conspiracy theory shit. Yeah. And, like, people are like, oh, this is stupid. I hate this shit. I'm not going to play PC games anymore. And so, like, this encryption, I don't know if this encryption is going to allow developers to not have to use that stuff. But at the very least, it's going to stop the games from being, you know, pirated.
Well, question. I mean, like, if they're developing this, they're staying online as they develop the games. That's the only way I could see that Steam... you know, they put this thing up on Steam, or do they like work on it and then upload it to Steam?
You work on it and then you upload it to Steam, and I think
Steam will take care of the encryption for that.
Yes, or at least the developers will have the tools and they'll build it in before they upload it. You know,
okay, yeah,
or something. Like I would that. Think I don't, so. I don't know how this works. Yeah,
because then Steam would like have you know, its hands on everything, anything you've ever made. They like pretty much own it.
Right,
like you know that, but. I mean, is that the back-end deal? I mean, they're offering it free, but, like, it becomes their intellectual property?
Yeah, I'm sure... No, they definitely won't. I mean, it's like... They're... think of them more as a store as opposed to a publisher, you know? It's just a store. It's there. And I guess if you wanted to be really stupid about analogies, you know, a store is... Unless the employee is a jackass and wants to break the street date, a store is not going to sell you a game early.
Okay.
And it's not going to even keep it on the shelf so a guy can't reach behind the counter, steal it, and run away.
Right.
So
right,
much
okay.
like in this, like they're not going to let people buy this game early or download it or something like that. Again, I don't know exactly how it works, but that's what the feature says on the feature list. auto-updating ensures that all customers are playing the latest and greatest version of your game. So if you have a patch, you just, you know, stick it on Steam and it'll download.
Cool.
It's kind of like on Xbox Live where you sign on to the game and the game kind of checks online and says, hey, look. You got a patch. Do you want to download it now? And you say yes, and it's all well and done, and you're done. Steam does the same thing. Unlike in other PC games where it's like where there's like a press release, oh my god, the Call of Duty 4 patch has been released on Filefront. Go and download it now. www.filefront.com and search for this link and then click on that link and then click on the link for Activision and then click on the link for Call of Duty 4 and then wait on the line of 250 people who are downloading the same file and wait for like about half an hour and then you can download the patch. No, this is
why
like,
wouldn't they wait a minute, why wouldn't they put a link on the, you know, when you open it before you do open the game. It's on programs. You go to like search for updates.
I'm sure they do have that.
But if they put it on a different link, then what's the fucking point?
I don't know. I mean, like they do that, but I mean the whole conceit is that regardless of where the link is, you have to check yourself every single time before you start the game, and that's kind of annoying. Whereas with Xbox Live and Steam, they just kind of go. They just kind of poke the internet and say, hey, psst, you got anything for me? Okay. Hey, guy, Tony, we got this update for you. Do you want it? And you're like, yeah, sure. And then it does it for you, you know?
Cool.
Multiplayer matchmaking, which is always good. Voice chat, again, which is good. Multiplayer matchmaking and voice chat for free instead of $50 a month. Social networking services with support for achievements, leaderboards, and avatars. Mm-hmm. And development tools, finally. So this is basically saying – this is basically taking a red-hot cattle prod to Microsoft and saying, hey, can you open your rectum for a second? Thanks.
You're so visual.
Next, two human finally arriving in May. So says GameStop. I remember before that they were saying Q1 of 2008, and some people were jumping down my throat saying, yeah, they're going to stick to it. You just watch. They're going to come out in the first quarter of 2008. Don't doubt them. They'll do it. Mm-hmm. Last I checked, May is not in the first quarter.
The second quarter.
Yeah. At the same time, this is a placeholder date, probably. So we don't know if that's specific. Well, it's specific. It says May 6th, mm-hmm. but it's a placeholder. So it may come earlier. You know, it still may come earlier. Mm-hmm. At the same time, it may come later. Mm-hmm. So we still don't know. What are your thoughts on this, is it going to actually come out?
If it does come out, I hope that whatever took them so long to develop
is worth it.
That they got all the kinks out. Like, for instance, how long did it take to make BioShock?
I don't know.
Let's just put it this way. That is a phenomenal game. It runs on the Unreal Engine, and it's just fantastic as far as gameplay and stuff. It still has bugs, but nothing that'll break the game whatsoever.
Wait. Say that again. It runs on what engine?
Unreal.
It runs on the Unreal Engine. And guess what 2Human was going to be running on?
Unreal?
Unreal.
That's Unreal.
And guess what got shitted on? The Unreal Engine.
Because, really?
Well, I don't know if you remember the whole lawsuit deal that's still going on.
No.
But, what's it called? 2Human was using the Unreal Engine, and then the guys at Silicon Knights claimed that the Unreal Engine was shitty, and that's why their E3 demo was crap. And then,
oh, really?
Like...
Huh.
Epic, who makes the Unreal Engine, was like, you know, fuck you guys, you know, what the hell? And then they were 2Human, Silicon Knights was like, you know what, fuck you guys, we're going to alter this tool and make our own engine out of it.
Really?
And then Epic was like, you can't do that to our shit. You can't use our thing.
Right,
and then
it's their intellectual property. Yeah.
And then manipulate it to make a new engine out of your own. You got to do that
That's right. From scratch.
Fuck you guys. Plus, you have a contractual obligation to use our engine. And then Silicon Knights is like, yeah, well, your shit is completely terrible, and, like, it ruined any chance of our making a good showing with this game, so we have to scrap it. And so now those two are in, a little vagina fight, and...
Yeah, but it's still running on Unreal?
I don't think anymore. I think the engine that it's running on now is a Silicon Knights creation. What I'm not clear on is whether or not
That's probably why it took so long.
Right, exactly. And what I'm wondering, and I don't know, is it on the Silicon Knights creation that was a bastardized version of the the Unreal Engine? Of which they still shouldn't be using? Or did they also scrap that and say, you know what, let's completely start from scratch and let's completely get rid of any trace of Unreal so that they can't sue us because we were stupid to do it in the first place?
Right.
And then, you know what I mean? So I don't know what the case there is, but...
Well, that would explain
the
length of time. I'm thinking more along the lines if they get that system. I mean, they had the network, the mainframe of the, you know, what they wanted to do with the system. So I'm not sure if that took a lot of development time. Maybe it did. Maybe somebody totally devised a new way to script everything, and they were like, "Oh shit, we got to learn this."
Yeah,
you know, but
likely. But I mean, they have.
I mean, maybe that. But the whole thing is, I'm more concerned that were kinks in the game. Yeah, if there were things in the game that just fucks up the whole game, like if you go to this certain area and you accidentally clip a wall and for some reason that breaks the game, you know what I'm saying? If they were making sure that all of that shit was taken care of, then hey, this should be a fantastic game if it does come out on May 6th.
Right.
I think I would buy it. Would you?
Absolutely. I mean,
yeah.
I'm a fan of Eternal Darkness, a huge fan, and I think he did a great job in it. I'm not so much a fan of the gameplay in what the fuck is it called? Legacy of Kain. I'm not a fan of the gameplay so much because it was wonky, but I like the ideas that they were going
with. Well, which one? One or two?
The very first one.
Oh, the very I never played the very first one.
It plays like Zelda through the mud.
Oh, okay. Oh,
You're slogging through the world because your guy moves slow and his sword swings are so
right.
But it was it was worth it to see what they could do. Now, what makes me happy is the fact that Dennis Dyack is shutting his big fat mouth and just working on the game because the months leading up to this year, he was flapping off at the mouth saying, oh, blah, 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 this, blah, that, and the funny shit, and blah, 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 blah. And oh, Epic is such a bad guy, blah, blah. Oh, there's going to be one console in the future, blah, blah, blah,
and
blah.
All this
talking
is
and talking
in quotes.
Yeah. Yeah, he said blah, 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 literally.
He did, actually, last week's thing.
And he's shut up, and he's gone to work, and he's working on the game. And I know that when his team works on a game and they concentrate instead of fucking talking out the ass, they put out good shit, and that's why I'm going to buy this game. I honestly don't care when it comes out. The reason why I make fun of it is because he kept on talking and running off at the mouth and talking about how previews are – maybe they are, but you know what? Shut up and work on your game. You know,
right?
Instead of complaining about that, and you know, he's working on it, and it's gonna even if it comes out next year, even if it doesn't come out until the last 2 years of the 360's life, that's fine. As long as I get to play it, and as long as it's good, I don't care.
Like, also, as long as it's amazing, if it's gonna take that amount of time, you got to see, you know, the payoff for this.
Right.
And not only that, this is I believe part one of a trilogy.
Yeah.
That he wants to make out of it.
Yep, so I think this is going to be like maybe 12 hours of gameplay or so, which is fine, you know. I mean, I'm all good for consuming 15 hours of game instead of sitting there for 40 hours straight. You know, I have time to absorb it. I can go back and play other games. The only thing that I ask is that they don't make it like a $60 game that's like 7 hours. And I don't think they're going to do that.
No,
I don't think they're going to do
not.
That.
No way, no. Not for the length of time that they work. Yeah. Even if this is part of a trilogy, I don't think they would lose so much money just for development if everybody was like, oh, shit, do not buy this. It's 7 hours. You know? I don't think they'll dick around like that. No way.
I think at this point, with them taking so long already, the episodic has to be the way they go anyway, because if they were like, let's give you the entire Two Human story, that would take like 2 decades at this point. So
it's true. By the time we have the next elections, you know, we'll see Two Human 2.
Two Human 2. Microsoft says that the Xbox 360 can be the new PlayStation 2. Before we even read this, I'd like to say that the PlayStation 2 was successful globally and the 360
is not.
So I will strike out that notion. But they may specifically be talking about these regions that in which they are successful. So let me get rid of these hiccups.
Yep.
And then let me read this. This is again from Kotaku. Mark Wilson said, shit, we have nothing from Wired News. I'm going to look up some shit right now so we can
get Susan,
I read it.
But isn't Brian Kachet? Oh, he's just edited it?
Yeah.
Edited it. Listen, I think with Susan rented it, I think the D is silent. Either the D is silent or the R is silent.
Yeah, it's probably something like the R. Eight? Susan, eight? Susan, eight? I think it's probably something like Arend or Arend or something like that.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Let's see. So, Microsoft, the Xbox 360 can be the new PS2. Sure, the DS sells like hotcakes and the Wii's doing pretty well, but the real contender to which all others will be measured in this generation of console hardware is the PS2, which is the king of last gen, and Microsoft VP Jeff Bell thinks that the Xbox 360 can fill the shoes of the PS2, as he told 1UP. And I don't know, anybody who watched E3 knows that Jeff Bell is like a robot, and he talks in marketing speak, dog. Yeah, dog. Oh, I'm trained really well. So he tells 1UP, we are very much positioning ourselves to be the choice of console of this generation, dog. Much like the PS2 was in the last generation, son.
Dog.
But what about the Wii, you say? And he answers, we think that we could live very, very well in the same household as the Wii, son. And we're trying to make sure that when there is a choice for a second console, that it is the Xbox 360. Yo, yo, what up? I do think that Nintendo was flipped and has become the first console for this generation for a lot of families who did have a console history. What's up, son? What I still don't know is how many absolute new households have been brought in because of the Wii. We're positioning ourselves to be ready if, in fact, gamers find they're ready to graduate from a certain experience potentially with the Wii. I'ma murk that cat, son. Either because it's limited on the type of gameplay that's available or the technology in that box. Yeah!
Fresh. Imagine he brought back Fresh. Oh, God. Oh, man.
So basically he's saying that, like, he thinks the Wii is, you know, it's great, but what it is really is like a gateway drug to the real consoles.
Yeah,
you know?
I don't know.
Honestly, I don't take offense to that, because the way that the fucking game library is looking right now for the Wii, that's the fucking truth. Stop with the fucking carnival games, please.
Yep, it's true.
And the Ninja Bread Man.
By the way, did you see the reviews for the fucking Link's crossbow?
They were actually pretty fairly positive from what I saw.
You think so?
Yeah.
I think most of the complaints was from that new add-on piece for the
The complaints were from the actual Zapper, which looks like complete turd.
Crap. Yeah, it's just plastic.
Even if I did want to buy a gun peripheral, which I don't because it feels like a gun already, I would buy that third-party thing that actually looks like a handgun.
Oh, do you mean the Namco?
The Nyko shot like that.
Yeah.
The perfect shot or something?
Yeah, perfect shot, yeah.
And that actually looks like it could work decently well. Like, it looks like a handgun, and the nunchuck is separate, or you can snap it on, I think. Is it optional that you can snap it on, or you can keep it separate?
What, on the actual gun unit?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I really am not.
But, like, yeah, it looks like it works just fine, and the only thing that it does is give you the sensation that you're holding a pistol, and that's it.
Right.
Obviously, you can't use it for, like, Metroid Prime or something, but you could use it for a Lycan game. And it looks like it works. At least it looks like a Lycan. And, like, the problem with the Wii Zapper was that when you pulled the trigger, all it did was, like, kind of move this little plastic nub that pushed the B trigger on your remote. It didn't have, like, spring-loaded action or anything
that.
So you didn't get a hard, like, a springy feel from the trigger, and this one does. So... Mm-hmm. This one is sure to, make you happy. And I say that with no sarcasm whatsoever. Saw. Remember the movie about the guy who died of cancer and, like, lobotomy and, like, put people in torture traps and, like, the plot's convoluted and stupid and the first two were good and the other ones are wasted. Saw! Coming to consoles.
Well, Al, actually was the one who sent this in, right?
And
he was upset, so I could only imagine what he would say about this, but I think I'll say it for him.
Fuck Sony.
This game, let's look at the positives. This game might be good.
I want to play a game.
If, one, it has two options. You could either play the person that has to get out of the traps,
or be the trap.
Or you could play the person who has to make up the traps, and they make an AI that gets progressively harder.
Oh, that's kind of like... Clock Tower or like Deception or some shit.
Clock Tower would be fucked up, man.
Deception 2 and 3.
Let's just put it this way. If the AI could figure out, like, you know, based on like a number of moves or like you set up traps and the AI gets progressively harder. So it like kind of like debunks all your previous traps and you got to make new ingenious traps and stuff like that to, you know, to actually do these people in if they don't finish the game and stuff like that. That would be kind of cool. If not, if you're just in one trap after another, dumb game.
Right.
Dumb game. Dumb.
It's probably going to be some point and click.
Dumb.
Let's play a game. You have to attach the cattail to the senator phone to open to this door.
I take it you didn't like 4.
I didn't see 4,
actually. Oh, you didn't see 4?
I'm basing it on what other people said. It's just like, okay, it's the same thing over and over.
Part 3, to me, sucked ass. Part 4 was actually brutal. I mean, like, really, really fucking brutal. Was it, like, good as far as movie-wise, as far as script or anything? Of course not. no, that's not what you go there for. You go there to see the ingenious traps that this guy devises. And that's the lore of the movie.
The first one, though, I thought was... Like,
the first one was incredible. You can never trump
really
the first one. Yeah.
And
the first one...
Yeah.
I'm sorry, go on.
I was just going to say the second one wasn't as intelligent by any means, but it wasn't dumb yet.
Yeah. No, but the third one was dumb. I thought the third one was dumb. The
I read
second
the movie
one...
spoil. I went ahead and read the movie spoilers on the other two, so I'm doing the Cooper Lawrence right now.
That's the new thing to do, the Cooper Lawrence.
Do the Cooper. Sell your book by putting yourself in an en vogue pose.
The second one was just fucking stupid in that I knew what was going to happen at the end right from, like, the first quarter of the movie.
But, yo, Frankie G, actor dude, he's an actor, son. Frankie G.
Moving on!
What's cheaper, used physical copies or the virtual console? This is, again, Otaku. Luke Plunkett. JJ Hendricks over at Vintage Computer and Gaming has truly outdone himself taking whining over the price of games on the virtual console as his cue. He's looked up the average used copy price of every single game available on the service and compared them to the price that Nintendo is charging on the virtual console. Mm-hmm. His findings are intriguing. Your whining is ill-informed when you total the average cost of every pre-owned game of a game. And compared to the total cost of every virtual console game, it's clear that you're not getting ripped off at all. In fact, you're usually... NES accepted, saving cash.
I don't know about this. Really don't know about this. You believe this?
You
believe his findings? I mean, what is he basing this on? Is he getting this thing from, like, eBay? Like, he could find these games on eBay and they charge shipping and handling and that's the total cost of the game?
Well, let's see. I mean, I'm going to go to his thing right now. My own personal experience, except for NES games, yes, he's right. Like, absolutely right. You go and you try to find Sin and Punishment for the Nintendo 64 on eBay. Maybe it's as cheap as $25 now. Not when me and Al got it. I got it for $35. Al got it for $40 because he had the backs of his cartridge clipped off because we don't have Japanese N64s. And
right,
I had to fucking take a lighter to the back of the cartridge and squeeze the plastic off. Now, you say...
Necessity is the mother of invention.
Yeah. You say, okay, great packaging, instruction manual, physical cartridge, yes, but you have to burn the shit off, and it's $40, or pay $12, and you don't have to go hunting for it. It's available for you from the outset.
Right.
You don't have to do anything. No, you don't get the physical copy, but it can never be destroyed.
Right.
I'll take the $12 digital copy at this point, you know, with
virtual
console
stuff. But from my
experience,
like, some of the games that I bought, like, I used eBay a long, long time ago, and I used some other services to buy games, especially rare games like Fazanadu. Who's ever played that, you know?
Right.
These are old Nintendo games and stuff, and my experience is that I bought them from video stores, and the video stores were selling them for, like, 99 cents.
Right, but that's not around anymore. They don't do that kind of shit anymore.
No, totally understood. But that's what I'm getting at. Is the price here indicative of actual cost or like shipping and handling and, you know, all that
bullshit? Well, he's saying the prices for the cartridges themselves were determined by using the daily updated prices at videogamepricecharts.com.
Oh, okay.
Which in turn are taken from multiple sources, including eBay, recent eBay auction results, Amazon.com, Half.com, etc. So I guess it's like, you know how back in the day Wizard Comics would give you the price of all comic books? Or the value, at least?
Never heard of Wizard Comics. Don't read
or
comic
something.
Books.
Something. Neither do I, but I know that magazine was like, it was kind of, it's kind of like those other magazines that take the value of baseball cards and like tally them up. And I guess this is similar, except it actually has real sales to go on.
Okay.
You know? Okay. So, I mean, and he does say, like, the NES is tenuous. Some of them, yes, some of them, no. For example, Adventure Island is $5.44, but bear in mind, all virtual console NES games, unless they're imports, are $5. So, $5.44 versus $5, big deal.
Or as opposed to the original baseball game, which is 75 cents as opposed to $5.
Exactly.
That's a huge markup.
Yeah.
But, you know, but that's
and you probably shouldn't be buying baseball anyways. Adventures of Lolo is cheaper, of course. Right. Blades of Steel is cheaper. Bobble is four times the virtual console price. Bubble Bobble is one of the best NES games in existence, in my opinion. Am I going to pay $5 for it, even if $5 is supposedly overpriced? Hell yeah, you know?
Yeah, I would do that,
The original Donkey Kong is $15?
What the fuck happened there?
I'm not even paying $5 for that. Shit.
I mean, you know, oldies are goodies, but damn, $15 for Donkey Kong? It's so basic.
Yeah.
What I was going to say is maybe this is a guide. Maybe he's alerting people that they should go to the site and research the actual cost of these games before they commit to a virtual console.
I think,
which is great. Yeah, which is great, because if I knew that baseball was 75 cents and, you know,
he wouldn't download it.
I would be like, are you kidding me?
Wait a second. You know, how is Blades of Steel $1.35 and Double Dribble only 59 cents? I like Double Dribble slightly better. No,
Double Dribble was awesome. What are you kidding me? Actually, Double Dribble did have one thing that made it really, really bad, and I'm not sure if you know what it was.
The steel button that like worked every single time?
No.
What was it?
No, I mean, that aside, the steel was very generous, but the basket cheat.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
You don't know about the basket cheat?
No.
Holy shit. Okay, here's what you do. Next time you play that game...
Because I never owned the game. I only played it at friends' houses.
Well, buy it on virtual console. It's still good.
Yeah.
It's worth $5. You'll have fun. But here's what you do. Let's just put it this way. One time, I won against a computer in a 20-minute game. Like, what was it? 300 to, like, 1 or something? 300 to 2 or some shit like that. What you do is you take your guy, whoever has the ball.
Uh-huh.
You go... to the opposing court, okay? You line yourself up next to the foul line, okay, in parallel to the basket.
On the other side of the court.
Yeah, on the other side, on the top hand side of the court, line yourself up to the basket, okay? Shoot, you will get instant 3 points every single
That's
time.
That's
every
awesome.
Single time.
Nothing,
without
fail.
Man, I just fucked that game up so much. I was like, wow, how much could I beat the computer by today? And I used to put it on very difficult,
That's
which
hilarious.
The computer is like off the wall with fucking steals.
Right.
But, you know, still kicked his ass, you know? So anybody that has Double Dribble, if you haven't found this cheat yet...
Do that cheat.
What have you been doing?
But, yeah, I think the thing I like about Virtual Console is that I know it's $5. It's always going to be $5, even if the other stuff is overpriced. It's like, I know what the price is going to be. I don't have to hunt. I don't have to peck. I don't have to search. You know. And I'm willing to pay $5 for a game that I haven't played in a long time and that I really want. I'm willing
also
to pay
for convenience,
that. I mean, of course I would rather pay 75 cents, but I'm fine with paying $5. If they made me pay $10 for an NES game, okay, then I'd be like, you know.
But I'm sorry, Urban Champion, $10.
Oh, God.
It's a fucking ripoff at $5.
It's a ripoff at 1 cent. But yeah, so totaling the NES games, you pay $288 for all the Virtual Console NES games and $273.53 for physical copies.
It's not egregious.
So it's a little bit more expensive, but we're talking about games like the Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
Which I'm not going to buy. Then again, Zanac is a pretty fucking awesome shooter, and that only costs one cent.
It's hard.
So, it's up and down. But then you get to Super Nintendo, and the games are consistently $3, $4, $5 more expensive.
Right.
Let's see. Donkey Kong Country 3 is $21 versus $8. R-Type 3 is $20 instead of $8. A Link to the Past is $16 as opposed to $8. So, you know, things like that. Breath of Fire 2 is $30 as opposed to $8. The total so far for Super Nintendo games on Virtual Console comes out to $354 for physical copies and $216 for the Virtual Console.
Right.
So that's a savings. N64, absolutely, except for F-Zero X, okay, which I own on N64 and I'm not going to buy.
Yeah, I played it. It's shit.
I love it.
It's shit. You like that?
Yes.
Is it me or did none of the other cars... change? I mean, like,
maybe they didn't. I didn't really. I thought that was kind of shitty, but I didn't care because like the racing is what I cared about, and like the actual racing action I really liked. I agree that there are like 20 zillion cars and most of them are the same. But like at the same time, when I'm playing against Al, you know, we're using the same car and we're on a track with like 30 other cars, and oh, you got boost power, and you know, you're fucking going upside down. Yeah, you're going upside down and left, right, and like I don't really care.
That's cool.
You know, that's
which is the one for GameCube. What was that one?
F-Zero GX. And like
that was fucking awesome.
Yeah, I think it definitely was better. I agree, it definitely was better than the N64 version.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing is that the N64 version seemed kind of a little bit easier and a little bit easier to not fuck up. So the GX is absolutely brutal. But let's see, F-Zero X. Okay, fine. That's $4.26, and that's cheaper.
Okay.
Wave Race is $6. That's cheaper. But Ocarina of Time is $16. Mario Kart 64 is $26. Paper Mario is $29, though I actually got it for $10 at a Toys R Us once when their clearance sale. And I still got the Virtual Console version because I'm an idiot, and I just didn't want to carry it around.
Right.
Sin and Punishment, $40. Super Mario 64 is $20. And Sega Genesis title. So the total is $169 versus $102 in the Virtual Console's favor. Sega Genesis is similar to the NES, except it ends up being a little bit more expensive. Overall, it's $400 versus $353. But let's see. Shining Force costs $32.
That's unbelievable.
Now it's $8 on Virtual Console.
Mm-hmm.
And you bet I fucking snatch that up. Gunstar Heroes is $24, and I would definitely pay $24 for Gunstar Heroes, but I don't have
to. But you only have to pay $8.
Yeah.
That's
I reviewed
awesome.
Golden Axe 3, which is a turd, and it would have cost me $20.
Right, okay.
To buy. Toe Jam and Earl cost $30. Holy shit.
Oh, give me a break. Come on.
And Wait. Streets of Rage 3 is $34, and that's not even the best one in the series.
No way. No fucking way.
Streets of Rage 2.
And no that, way. It had a kangaroo. Way. Bullshit.
So did Tekken. Neo Geo games. Oh my God, Neo Geo games have...
No, that's on that can't be the right price.
I know, that's... Oh, okay, he says because these aren't sold often, and he couldn't find data. So not sold often, some prices based on one or two sales. But that's understandable, but like anybody who knows Neo Geo pricing like normally will know that $9 for a Neo Geo deal is
a fucking steal.
It's a fucking steal, so, you know, point blank.
Not only that, remember a long, long time ago on our podcast... I'm sorry. Wait. Remember a long, long time in our podcast, there was somebody developing another Neo Geo arcade home thing.
Yeah.
And it was like fucking $1,000 and the game cartridges were going to be the same price as they were like in 94, which is ridiculous. I mean, like, if this is not indicative of Neo Geo cartridges, and yeah, he couldn't find information for this, so I can't take this at face value, but I know what you're saying, oh my god, yeah. For, and I have to say the same thing.
TurboGrafx. Okay, standard price for TurboGrafx games is $6. Air Zonk, okay, costs $30. Alien Crush, $19. Blazing Lasers, $30. I'm looking at these prices, $36, $80, $15.
$80 for what?
Bomberman 93. Oh, guess how much Bonk 3 cost?
How much?
$200.
What? How the fuck?
And we can own it for $6. Oh, well,
there you go.
You'll love this one because you use this as a bag of shit. Guess how much Bomberman Man cost?
Do not tell me that's over, like, $1.
$30. $20, $20, $27, $18, $11, $40 for Dragon's Curse, $12, $8, okay, that's not that bad. Galleon 90 cost $30, Gate of Thunder was $40, JJ and Jeff cost $12,
Jesus.
Legend of Heroes, $35, $46. Meanwhile, you're getting this, you gotta look at the totals for virtual console games for TurboGrafx 16 titles, $294. For physical copies, $1,177.67.
And most of that is Bonk 3. What the fuck?
But yeah, I mean, like I said to Ethan before, I'm vain. I like physical copies. I'm not vain enough to the point where I'd rather pay $30 for something that I could get for $6.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely.
So, if I can get it for $6, yeah. If it's like Steam, and Steam is like, you can buy Bioshock for $49.99 from Steam, or you can buy it for $49.99 from the store. The only reason that I'm going to get the Steam version, if I do, well, I won't because I already have Bioshock, but hypothetically speaking.
Right.
The only reason why I would get it is if the copy protection for the CD-based version is so insanely fucked up that it's really annoying and it really bogs down your PC and it installs all this random shit, which it actually kind of does. It has this weird thing where it links up to the server and you can only install it twice, and then you have to uninstall it in order to... It's weird.
What the fuck?
But, like, yeah, the only reason why I would ever go for a digital distributed copy is if it's either cheaper or if... It like the copy protection on the physical copy is insane.
I still
like my boxes, but like if it's that much cheaper, then I will bend.
Right. I have a question.
Yes.
Said that it uploads and it says you could only install this twice. If you install it on without being online, of course it doesn't know how many times it's been installed, right?
But you have to connect online. That's the trick.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
And the funny thing is that like they actually spun it so that it's like, look, yeah, we only let you install twice, but this means that you can install it on your PC and someone else's PC.
So they can
play along as well. And I'm like, yeah, but then they don't have the disc.
Exactly. They have to buy the game, which negates
actually,
the point
you know
of
what? No,
installing
I,
it.
I misinterpreted. I think what they were saying is more like you can install it on two PCs of your own and use the disc back and forth because other games like that would use copy protection – similar copy protection, they probably wouldn't even let you do that, but I don't know. Whatever.
Okay.
It's stupid. 90% of United States, and maybe this is why, is pirating DS games? John Hillier is the manager of UK-based the Entertainment and Leisure Software Publishers Association Intellectual Property Crime Unit, and he just made a hell of a claim about the American piracy market for Nintendo DS. In America, it's thought 90% of Nintendo DS users are playing pirated games because of R4s. Takings from Nintendo DS games in the US are lower than any other console. What?
Huh?
I don't believe this. Where's his study? He says it's thought.
Well, I don't understand. Wait, you're telling me that you go to a store, you get you go to GameStop, you buy a DS game that is wrapped in shrink wrap, which they do themselves, I'm sure. But it's wrapped in shrink wrap, and it comes with an instruction manual. And
No. I think he's saying that like they download like little devices.
Oh.
They buy little hack devices and then like find the games on the internet.
Well,
you know?
That would be the same for PSP or any other console out there.
Yeah, and I really don't think it's 90%.
No,
that's the
no
thing.
Way.
Because
no way.
All he said is it. This is. I'm going to repeat his sentence. He says in America,
In America, it's thought that 90% of Nintendo DS users... 90%
is thought. Mm-hmm. How about you know? How about you do some, you know, research and, you know, close window.
But why is he saying this? Is it because the sales for the DS are unusually high and that's why people are buying this?
Yeah, maybe he is saying that. I think that's what he meant by, like, saying the takings are the lowest. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I don't think that means they're pirate. I don't know. Whatever. Maybe it's because games cost more over in London.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe they are pirating in London, and that's 90%.
I mean, but not the United States. Can cost you 30
maybe
quid.
He got the countries confused. Poor guy. He was like, 90% of games in United. Oh wait, what country are we in? Oh, my country. Oh, okay.
30%
of games.
See, I'm assuming maybe it's around like 25 British pound sterling versus like the American dollar is weak. So
it's 90 stone.
Stone.
So 25 quid would be approximately, I would say, 45 American dollars.
Give me a halfpenny.
I honestly don't know how much what the conversion is right now. If someone could confirm what the average DS game costs in Great Britain, let me know like how much they cost, because I don't know actually what the average is. But
yeah, but he said it is thought. I mean,
yeah,
that's the key
word.
Yeah,
I know. Something has
here
been confirmed for
Big
Wii.
News.
Rock Band confirmed for Wii. EA's CEO mentions the game's coming launch during a conference call. This is by Ryan Geddes on IGN/IGN. let's see. We will at some time bring Rock Band to every important platform, Rigopoulos said at the time, adding that Harmonix will optimize future versions of Rock Band to the strength of the platform. I think the Wiimote is something that holds enormous promise. This was way back in April 2007. And then there was a conference call, let's see. After the call, we contacted an EA rep for more details, but all we got was a confirmation that indeed a Wii version of Rock Band's coming. So there you go. Have fun with that downloadable content that probably won't come.
Right.
You'll be just like a PS2 owner.
Well, no, you're still waiting. Are you still waiting for downloadable content? Content for Rock Band? Not Rock Band. Guitar Hero 3 for Wii.
I think they are. I don't know. I haven't been following that because I got the 360 version and that has downloadable content.
Right, exactly.
But I don't know about them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, get a 360. I'm not to troll, because if you have a Wii and that's all you have, that's awesome. But if you want the full benefit and you are a you know, you love your games and you want games and you like playing games, get the 360 version. I mean, it's going to give you all the things that you need. Right. Or get the PS3 version because all the controllers are wireless, and that's there's a fucking mess of wires on the floor when you play the 360 version. It's insane. But if
so the Wii, everything's going to be wireless on a Wii.
Yes. Well, I would hope so.
I think so.
I think they will be, but you know they do have a USB port, and if Nintendo's really annoying about its USB about its wireless, then they may not make it wireless. But the only reason why the Xbox version is wired, I think, is because Microsoft is, you know, themselves is very stingy about their wireless protocols.
Right.
Nintendo and Sony aren't. I mean, Sony, you know, the PS3 version has to use a dongle, but it's still wireless. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I trolling aside and all kidding aside, it's good that it's coming out to every platform. I mean, those who have it on PS2, you know, will know that, you know, for a time, they were like, why the fuck can't we get it? You know, and then they were like, you know what, no, we'll bring it over to the PS2.
Right.
And, you know, that made people happy. They don't have to go out and buy $400 consoles just to play this
thing. Right, exactly.
Because you're paying $400 for the console and then $170 for the package.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's fucking expensive.
And that's why I think, you know, compared to Guitar Hero 3, that the sales were... They weren't even
absolutely.
In the top 10.
Absolutely,
you know?
Absolutely.
They weren't even in the top 10. Yes. I think if you could have used the Guitar Hero guitar with with Rock Band on, you know, on like PlayStation 3 or any other console and stuff, the sales for Rock Band would have trumped it.
You can on the 360, but
yeah, I know on the 360, but anything else.
Yeah, and then you miss out on the drums, and you know.
Right.
Although I think you can plug in a USB microphone and use that. So if you own one already, you might be able to just do that. I don't know though. I don't know for sure.
Right. I only have one opinion, and that is if the Wii is ever going to use its USB ports, that is for a flash dongle, so we get more fucking memory in this fucking bitch.
Yeah, seriously.
What the hell?
I actually have a... you can actually also plug your keyboard in, so when you're using when you're
oh, really?
When you're typing messages to people, you can use it. But I is it? I'm trying to think. I know it did something stupid where you can use a keyboard for messaging, but you can't use it for web browsing, or the other way around.
Can you use a mouse?
No, because you have the Wiimote. You don't need a mouse.
Can you use a mouse? I want to use a mouse. I don't care about the Wii Remote.
No, but why would you want to use a mouse when you have that already? But what I actually use it for is I got
I'm a stickler. I just want my convenience.
Stickler
that's
the
all.
Penis. I got a USB Ethernet port for my Wii,
right.
So
okay.
That like I think it's faster. Like
okay.
I've downloaded an NES game on wireless, and I've downloaded it on the wired, and it was much faster.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, because you know it's but I don't know. I don't know if that applies across the board.
Okay.
But let's see. That is it for the noose. We shall move on to the one lonely little mailbag.
Poor mailbag.
At the mail bag, there's only one mail in this bag.
That's pathetic.
That would be from Edu Buccaneer. He says, "Hi, Tri Boys. Long time no write. My question is pretty dirty and swift. How do you feel when a game you're expecting gets delayed multiple times? Even multiple times. I'm asking since a game I'm actually waiting for, Mercs 2, got delayed yet again."
Mm-hmm.
Speak?
Yeah, I'm upset that Mercs, because that's one of the games I was looking forward to on the 360. Mercs 2, Burnout Paradise, which I don't think I'm going to buy now.
Really?
I really don't think. Yeah, because they're talking about the open-ended system, and there is an annoying factor that is the same fucking problem that I had with all the Tokyo Extreme games. Like, I know people are going to say, Tokyo Extreme, come on!
The no retry?
Yes, exactly. Not only that, if you want a specific rival, you got to drive around the track to find them. Okay, or you have to wait.
I think the reason why that doesn't bug me is that because I'm going to be concentrating mostly on, I'm going to be doing a race. If I fail, there's an intersection like 2 feet from me. That intersection has another race.
But therein lies the problem. Once you go on to the next race, that other race is forgotten. You have to backtrack later on a lot. From what I hear, this game is huge. You'll have to go a long fucking way back just to retry that race, which you should have been able to retry.
I agree that that's an issue, but I don't think it's the reason, again, why it's not bothering me is because there's so much to do. Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't care about going back to retry that race. I don't care because there's something right there. It's like a fucking buffet. Like, everything's just kind of out there, you know? So it's like,
your analogies are spot on. Let me tell you.
So it's like, you're right. I can't try this race again. I have to drive back.
Right.
But you know what? There's this other race that's fucking awesome. Let me run this one. Oh shit, I won this one. Oh shit, after this race, there's something in front of that too. Oh shit, let me race that one. And you know, you keep on going, and you're going all across the city, and eventually you'll come back to that thing. And be like, you know what? Let me fucking beat this shit right now. And then you do
right.
it. It's kind of like. I'm trying to find a good comparison. I don't want to say Grand Theft Auto because I haven't played it extensively enough to compare it. But it's like it's kind of like Oblivion in that you take on some quests, for me at least, you take on some quests and you kind of forget about it. And you have to trek all the way back just to like let's say some guy asks you to fish for him in a lake and you're walking past the lake and then you like while you're going to the lake you come across some guy that's like, "Hey, I need you to help me with this." And then he veers you in a totally different direction. Then you have to go all the way back to that lake. But by that time, you're saddled in so many different quests that you're just like, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And like eventually, you're going to have to come back to that lake naturally to do something else because there's something else in that house next to the lake that you have to find or something. And you're like, you know what? I never fished for this guy. Let me go and let me get these fish and let me give them to this guy.
Right.
And then you complete the quest. Now, that's not to say that I disagree that there should have been a retry. I do agree. There should have been a retry.
And that therein lies the big problem. I'm sorry. Even if you have to go back to that quest and stuff like that, and you committed yourself to every other thing, and you pass every other thing, you have to go all the way back to that quest. Okay? In this case, the race, or whatever mission you're applying for at the time. You go all the way back there, and you fail it again. Guess what? You got to go all the way back there. and do it again.
Though I think
go all the way back there.
Yeah, but what I've been reading, like I don't know how many reviews you've read or how. Like, I only read a few.
I looked at my Game Informer, and then I went on to GameSpot, and I saw, like, other different people and stuff. They're saying the same thing, you know, and they're pretty much consistent with that point.
Right, but there I mean, is... the two things that I've heard that stick out the most to me is that, yes, it's a problem. No, it won't be a problem until, like, you've invested, like, 30 hours into the game.
Right.
So
before
for me,
the game is
for,
huge. The,
yeah, for me, it's like, you know what, then it's not a problem. And right. I don't care. You know, I personally don't care.
The game
because,
is huge.
Like, you, yeah, exactly.
Here's the plus side. The game is huge. The graphics are supposed to be... actually, the racing engine is supposed to be the fastest most people have ever seen on a racing game, you know, on a 360. They're saying that it's very impressive. And the attention to detail in the cities and stuff like that is just immaculate.
Right.
Okay? But the whole thing is... I kind of got that, although it was not as impressive. Tokyo Extreme 3, okay, was like a huge undertaking of a game that I already liked. And I put up with its, you know, its little nuances. And they're not really little. They're big. But I put up with it, you know. And here it goes. I get Tokyo Extreme 3, and I go to race somebody, and there it is. I race that person. They fucking beat me. Now I gotta race after them again, or either that, or just wait for the next rival. But and it's kind of like, you know,
I don't.
It's kind of what am I doing here?
I really don't think you should forego this experience just because of those things. I really honestly think those are too.
I totally understand.
Those are
that,
too small.
Yeah.
Well, those are too small things in the scope of this huge thing that you would probably love the shit out of because, like, it's basically Burnout, just that you drive to an intersection instead of choosing from.
Oh,
the menu.
And they eliminated crash mode.
Yeah, that
one, was the
that
biggest
bothers
thing.
Me, but then like then I saw them talk about Showtime mode and I started salivating.
Oh really?
Yeah, okay. I was like, you know what? Maybe they shouldn't have gotten rid of crash mode, but this looks really awesome. Like really awesome. Like I would advise you to actually watch Alex Navarro's. This is actually his last one before he left, so it was kinda sad.
Oh, okay.
I would actually advise you to watch the video review and just watch that shit in motion.
Okay, cool.
Watch
I'll do
it,
that.
And remember that I like to pee on Game Informer sometimes, so you can't trust my opinion of them.
Right.
But watch
no,
the video.
No, I'm like basing this not only on that, but like I went to GameSpot and
no,
I
I'm
saw,
saying
like...
I'm saying that the reason why like you shouldn't listen to me when I talk about Game Informer is
because
they make me angry.
Okay.
But yeah,
right.
Watch the video review and like basically Showtime is instead of crash mode where it's just you have to figure out how to cause most damage, you're driving down the road. And then you just press, I think it's the two shoulder buttons, and it kind of goes into this different mode. Your car starts flipping, and it crashes into one thing, and you see a bunch of money fall out. Well, the number, not the actual money. But you see a bunch of money pop out, and then another car is like, holy shit, and swerves into you, and then you bump against it, and it sends you up in the air, and there's more money that flies out. And then while you're in the air, you kind of direct your car to another car to bump into it, and you bump into that car, you bounce off the side of that car, and another car is coming out the left side, and you're like, holy shit, and it bumps into you, and you bump over that car into a truck, and that truck stops, and because the truck stops, all the cars run into it, and you're still bouncing down the road so you can find more. It's like you're consistently just it's like it's totally unrealistic and it looks really stupid but it also looks really awesome because it's just this wrecking car bouncing around kind of like it's alive bouncing around finding more cars to crash into just keeps on going and going and going until like there's all this money on the ground and it's like you cause like 20,000 million damage and then when it's done you can just drive off as if nothing happened.
Right. Okay.
Which is totally unrealistic, but it's awesome.
I mean, that could be fun, but at the same time, what's the point?
I'm sure they're like medals that you get and shit.
Oh, okay.
And like, I'm sure there's medals that you get and money that you earn.
Well, of
or...
course, achievements because
and
you know.
And achievements. But yeah, I would like though I would say don't go out and buy it. I would like rent it first. You know, see what you feel about it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, rent it when you have 24 hours to play it. Because, like, everyone's saying that, like, the first hour you're kind of like, I want my regular Burnout, this bullshit. And then, like, after an hour, you're like, wait a second, this is really, really actually good. So it might take a little while to sink in. But, yeah, so delayed, you were, how do we get on this? We got on this because we're talking about Mercs.
What a tangent,
So keep talking about Mercs getting delayed. How do you feel?
Mercs
does it make you estrogen?
Very, very, very upset. It doesn't make me estrogen. Very, very, very upset that Mark 2 is delayed. When is it coming out? Who knows? Who knows?
But that's
one of the reasons why I wanted a 360. And, you know, I'm still waiting. Mark 2, for the delay, it better be good. That's all I'm saying. If they delay a game, I don't care if they delay a game, so long as they, you know, found a problem and want to fix it.
Twilight Princess. By the way, I'm navigating to that page for Mercs, and I just saw the virtual console list. Samurai Ghost is $45.
Jesus.
So, let's see. Mercenaries 2. This will launch in... Oh, shit. To be announced, 2009?
What?
Are you shitting me?
Get the fuck out of here. What are you kidding me?
What?
They told us... No, oh, my God. They told us this year, last year. What the fuck? What is going on here? Jesus Christ.
Let's see.
They must... Okay. One, they must have huge...
Balls.
Huge problems. No. Huge problems with, like, the locale. Remember you said that, what is it, in Venezuela or whatever?
Venezuela, yeah.
Okay, that the president there was like, oh, this is going to depict our country. Okay, we must be, like,
Hugo
in a serious...
Chavez.
Yeah, we must be in a serious drug trade that is going to jeopardize this nation's economy. Therefore, this game has to be delayed until that is resolved. And, you know, unfortunately, our economy comes first.
Or they're having issues with the cross-platform development. Oh, no! PS3 really? Is too hard to develop for. Oh no, a 360 is not powerful enough.
We never did this on PS2.
Yeah. I'm throwing that out there. I mean, I'm sure. No, that's not what it
totally
is,
understood.
Like, wait.
You know, I'm making light of them because why? Why?
Yeah, I know. But wait a second. The Wikipedia page says the ESRB rating is teen. It doesn't have a fucking rating yet, does it?
What?
That's a no mature way. Game I ever saw. When you're blowing up shit and then like destroying people and their goatees.
Actually,
and
what was Mercenaries 1? I think that was no, that couldn't be teen. That was like mature. That was definitely mature.
Oh my God, Mercenaries 1 was teen.
It was teen.
Holy shit!
They had fucking shit in it.
They had fucking shit.
Yeah.
Or do you mean the words?
Not actually fucking shit.
That's what I thought you... I was like, the words fucking shit.
Yeah, I will...
That's why
I want
to
buy that game.
They had to get those words in there.
Yeah, I want to buy that game because I'm gay.
Let's see. How do I feel when a game gets delayed that I'm expecting multiple times? Well, if I'm expecting it, I'm all hyped up for it, and I'm ready to play it, I'm disappointed. Like, of course... The game is better. I'm grateful for it. But at the same time, it's just a downer. Like, you can't... Like, a lot of people are like, don't be upset. It's going to be better. And it's like, no. Of course, like, I know it's going to be better, but I have every right to just be, like, let down. It's disappointing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
period.
Sure.
You know? And it's like... And sometimes you wonder if that means that the game will get canceled. And that's why it's so disappointing, because sometimes it's like... Well, what if they just totally cancel it? Mm-hmm. What if it doesn't come out at all? You know? And
more disappointing is that they never have delays on games like Catwoman.
Yeah, that's why they come out shit.
Yeah, well, you expect it to be shit, but they never have delays. Never. Ever
it
do they have
to
delays
come out with
on
the movie,
fucking... Ugh,
which
God.
Is also shit.
Yeah, but... By the way... I saw this, you know, my girlfriend was watching one of her fucking woman channels.
Ooh.
And, Oxygen. Anyway, they were advertising that they're going to be showing Catwoman. And how did they, how did they draw a crowd? Academy Award winner, Halle Berry. it's like, so what? She's an Academy Award winner.
Why did she do that to herself? Why couldn't they get, like... She's not, like, that irrelevant. She doesn't have to do that shit.
No. It had nothing to do with that. They said we needed somebody with a hot body. We're trying to make this Catwoman, you know, kind of like Eartha Kitt, you know, like, black. I'm not sure if that's what the, you know, what they actually went for.
They could get, like,
but
Ashanti
they were like,
or something.
A sexy, yeah, but they said Halle Berry. And Halle Berry said yes.
Oh, my God. They could get Ashanti or, like... Fucking Gabrielle Union, because
but who cares?
The best thing she's been
said
in was fucking Bad Boys 2. Don't ruin Halle Berry's career, but no, she wouldn't have did it to herself.
But exactly. I mean, she won an Academy Award, and they said, listen.
For Monsters Balls.
Yeah, from Monster's Balls, because, you know, she decided to be nude and have sex with Billy Bob, which, Billy Bob is a great actor.
But that,
I gotta
yeah,
say.
He is, but that was disturbing.
He's a fucking fantastic actor. But, if I was a woman, I would not fuck him. I'm sorry. I don't know how to fuck it. Angelina
he looks
is
like
desperate.
He looks like an aunt's boyfriend's aunt's incestual guy thing with the production of a of an ovum. What?
He must have the gift of gab. I don't know what the fuck draws women to him, but it's just like,
is that twang?
You know, but anyway, like, she won an Academy Award. They were like, okay, we're going to give you this amount of money. Can you do it? And she's like, okay. And we're like, what convinced her to fucking, you know, go topless for Swordfish?
You know what makes me sadder?
What?
The fact that Alex Borstein was in that movie, too.
Oh,
Peter.
Oh, God.
Now,
as
I
her
can
friend.
Understand why she would do it, because, you know, she's most famously known for Family Guy, and she probably wants to break into big movies. And I can understand
yeah,
why
that...
she did that. It's still sad, though, that she had to do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but that, and her
it's
role
like sad
was
that
not
Rebecca
even memorable.
Had to do Aliens vs. Predator 2. She is so
Ugh.
Above that type of shit.
Oh, God. By the way, they're coming out with a new one. Oh,
I
guess, why?
Yeah, I heard because of the
like
fucking...
Like, the other one left so much to be desired. I mean, like, Jesus Christ. Anyway, get off of movies. Back to games! have you ever had in your life a game that you were expecting that didn't come out?
That didn't come out ever? It must not have been that important because I can't remember it now. But I'm pretty sure that there was something that I was like, yo, this looks hot, and it never came out.
Right. Or I either let's change that. Delayed.
Well, on the first thing before we move on to delays is I know that there are some games that I you know that were Japanese, mm-hmm. like Bahamut Lagoon for Super Nintendo. That was kind of shown off in a magazine and then never got released or localized, and that made me upset because I wanted to see that.
Okay.
There was. Oh, shit. There's a whole bunch of Japanese RPGs that it's kind of like, you know, they're not coming out. Oh, shit, what the fuck? As far as delays, Zelda is one of them. Twilight Princess
Zelda
is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out fantastic. I love it. But, mm-hmm. you know, at the time, I was like, you know, I was bummed. Half-Life 2, I believe, had a couple of delays to it.
Okay.
What else? I think I don't qualify id's games as delays because John Carmack always says when it's done, it's done. He never gives a release date, so fuck that.
Right.
Besides, Doom 3 wasn't that good anyways. Metroid Prime 3, although it was only for a week, so it wasn't that bad.
Okay.
I'm trying to think back in the Super Nintendo days. You didn't really hear about delays because there were so few games that came out that were like high profile
right.
that they really concentrated that was like, it comes out when it comes out.
Right.
Did Bioshock get... No. What about you?
Me, personally, one game that I was looking forward to on the Dreamcast was the Godzilla game. And that was one of the games... Yeah, one of the things that was showcasing the system's power. Mm. And it looked pretty awesome. Did it ever come out? I don't think so.
I think... Well, now it's out. Now it's out on Virtual Console, but before there's...
Yeah, Virtual Console,
this,
but like
no,
on
I'm
Dreamcast.
Talking about something else. I'm talking about something else.
Oh, okay.
There's this game called Alien Soldier by Treasure. That was fucking
okay.
amazing. Okay, it's not easy to learn, but once you learn it, it's insane. And
okay.
it was available in Europe.
Huh.
It's available in Japan, but never the United States. Ooh, here's one. There's this game called Terranigma, which is an action RPG made by Enix. It was the spiritual successor to Illusion of Gaia and Soul Blazer, the latter of which I liked and the former of which I hated because you attack mm-hmm. people with a flute. But it was really like I ended up eventually playing it. You know, you have to, but it's only released in, you know, in Europe, so you have to somehow finagle your way on a European cartridge and like fucking find a way to make it work somehow.
Well, maybe that's the 90% there. They're pirating from us.
But, yeah, I mean, it was, you know, from what I could get out of it, it was really enjoyable, and I really regretted that I, you know, that an American version never came out, you know, mm-hmm. so you didn't have to go through all the loopholes just to get that, you know, cartridge. Let me look it up. But,
Yeah, I mean, it's either you get the European version and fuck around with your TV and get, like, a PAL SNES or something like that, or get the Japanese version, which you can't read.
Right.
You know? And so I was, like, I was resigned to it, and I had to, like, go through it with a FAQ.
Okay.
You know, so... But I wish that would come out. I really do wish it would come out. Still. There's no slating for Virtual Console. I think... and this is fucking Square Enix. It's an Enix game, so it's Square Enix now. And yeah, Square Enix doesn't want to do shit with the Virtual Console, which pisses me off.
I don't understand that. I really don't. I mean,
because
I
they want
that...
to milk all their Final Fantasy games and release them every single portable game system on the planet so that you can spend $30 to buy Final Fantasy 1 on the PSP when you played the shit out of it on the PlayStation 1 already.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
money, money, money!
Money! Marketing! But, whatchamacallit? Okay, whatchamacallit? So what was the call on the Godzilla thing? Was it ever released on Dreamcast?
Oh, let's see. Godzilla Dreamcast. Mecha Godzilla? What?
What?
Godzilla video games. Here we go. Gojira. 2000s.
Gojira.
Godzilla Generations.
Okay.
They don't have a Wikipedia entry on it. Let me Google it. Godzilla Generations.
Gojira.
Godzilla Generations for Dreamcast.
Oh, God. Your laughter means a lot to me.
It came out on October 31, 1998. Do you want to know what GameSpot gave it?
What?
This review is by Peter Bartholow. I guess he was one of their staffers back then.
Okay.
It got... I'm going to build a suspense here. It got a 3 for gameplay, 5 for graphics, 5 for sound, 5 for value, and 1 for reviewer's tilt, which aggregates to 3.2. Bad. Now,
okay.
Now I got to see this one. Godzilla Generations Maximum Impact. Because apparently that was like a tournament edition or
Oh, really? You know, and this was for Dreamcast?
Or a sequel or an expansion patch or something. This never came out in the United States, probably for good reason.
Yeah, there you go. That was one of the things they showcased for Dreamcast. And
showcast
we
for
were
Dreamcast?
Actually looking forward to it.
I was just making fun of you. You said showcased for Dreamcast.
Showcased!
Oh, wait, but. Again, I think it's probably like, you know how you have NBA Jam and NBA Jam Tournament Edition? It's the same thing?
Yeah.
That's probably what it was.
Okay.
Oh, wait. Random, and I know this isn't the news segment, but I missed this one. This is from our favorite lady, Susan Aind.
The R is silent.
Aind. Sony is quietly preparing to launch a slimmer, trimmer PlayStation 3, says tech site T3. T3 says they got the tip from a particularly well-informed insider during CES last month. They also theorize that this trimmer PS3 will be host to a massive 160-gigabyte hard drive. So it's rumor. It's a rumor. It's a rumor. But if it's slim and it's cheap, I may buy one. If it's
cheap.
But
you already have one.
I know, but like that could be the family Blu-ray player. And then I could, you know, use the PS3 for myself. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Okay.
So... Or this one could be, or the thin one could be the family Blu-ray player, and the fat one could be in my room. But the only way that I think it would probably be cheaper is if they took out the Blu-ray. So
yeah, no. Yeah.
But I still, if they took out the backwards compatibility, for my purposes, that would be fine because I would just stick the backwards compatible PS3 in my room and then keep this as a Blu-ray player. And whoever wants to play the PS3, I mean, whoever wants to play PS2 games, why are you going to want to play PS2 games? Just play it in my room.
Well, they have a lot of good games.
I know. I'm being facetious, but you can play it in my room. I'm fucking playing in the living
room. But it's not very funny.
Living room is for fucking Ratatouille. Your face is funny looking, your ponytail and a mustache.
Anyway.
Are you done yet?
What the hell were we talking about?
I don't know, but I need to hear that laugh again. Sound like a fucking some kind of farm animal that I
boo. All right,
I'm serious. It sounds like a farm animal. I'm trying to think of. It's like a hippopotamus.
I didn't know that was a farm animal.
How did you not know a hippo is a farm animal? All right, anybody who lives on a farm
Dumbass.
Anybody who lives on a farm is a hippopotamus a farm animal. And the
no!
Only way, the only way you'd know the answer to the question if you actually did live on a farm and didn't have electricity and couldn't listen to this podcast. So never mind.
That's just Ben. You know you fucked up.
No, it's a farm animal. I've
hippopotamus?
Been to farms. Yes.
Austin, you know what a hippopotamus is?
Yes, it's a big fat piece of shit with buck teeth and like big. It's no.
And can
it's
chew a man in half.
The front of
yeah,
its mouth.
Yeah, more people in Africa are killed by hippopotamus.
Like
hey, more people in Africa are killed by that animal than any other animal in Africa.
That's
you'd think
why. That's why
keep
they
it
have,
on a farm.
That's why they have to farm them and domestic and domesticate them. If you farm and domesticate a hippopotamus, it becomes your friend. And you can call it ass snout because its snout looks like an ass.
Stop it. Just stop it.
What are you crazy? Oh, I know God. That a hippopotamus doesn't exist on a farm. I graduated from
God.
Elementary school. I know this. And I almost graduated from high school 3 times.
That's a relief.
No, I graduated, of course.
Oh, my God.
But thank you for pretending to actually believe that I thought that, because that made the joke all the better.
No, that's just Ben, you know it.
No!
Yeah.
But hippopotamus should be on a farm, though.
It should.
So it
it's got a big dick.
Eat people's faces.
So should a rhino.
No, rhino, I don't think so, because then, you know, that horn would go in the wrong places. And, you know,
how the fuck did we get here? What the hell is going on with this podcast?
I think we need to end right now.
They call it the Tangent Podcast. What the fuck?
Oh, my God. All right, so housekeeping, Marshy Man's podcast is at 19. He, I guess he's still having trouble getting up regularly, but he's in school, I believe. Mm. So, you know, give the guy a break. He's studying. He's trying to be a professional man. Professional
yep.
what? I don't know. Maybe gigolo. Maybe hippopotamus. Maybe farmer. www.gamespot.com/user/marshyman50. And, of course, you have the ever slavey Game Slaves Radio with Kristen Riven and Charlie Echenberger, who's also known as Leiden. That's at gameslaves.net.
Hey, what happened to Riven? We miss you.
He's probably working and shit.
Okay.
He's starting to write a lot of reviews now on Game Slaves. They've changed what Game Slaves is. They're not sure what they want to be now, they said. So they changed the layout, and it looks really good now. I like it. I mean, I liked it before, but I like it even better now. And he's posting his reviews there, which is really cool. So I think they might be heading in a new direction. I don't know if they know they want to do that yet. I missed the last episode of their podcast, so I don't know if they updated anything about that. But Gameslaves.net, the podcast is available there. It's also available on iTunes you just search the store for Game Slaves Radio, and you can get them there.
Yay.
Don't forget to review us on iTunes as well. We do have a couple of new reviews, but I'm afraid of shattering the balance of the universe by opening up iTunes, but I'm going to try it anyways. Let's see if we get any delays or any internet farts or whatnot. Open iTunes. No, I don't want new software.
Yay.
I agree, but just open. God damn it. Fucking A. Yes, you can review us on iTunes. Just look for us, trygames.net, in the store. I've been hearing issues with the RSS feed. If you are having issues with the RSS feed, please let us know. Some people have said that it's because you have your iTunes on auto-update.
Mm.
And in fact, let me get the message now. But first, let me read the new reviews. On iTunes.
But that's good housekeeping right there.
It's housekeeper. Telephone! You get the
God
telephone.
God damn it. Why do people call this phone? Motherfuckers. You don't call me. I'm doing podcast.
I'm doing podcast. Let's see. This is a 5-star review. Thank you. 5-star review from Richard HP. I don't know if this is Rich Ball.
Cool.
But it's Richard. Austin, Al, Ethan, and Tony make a hilarious bunch who all have superb knowledge in the world of video games. The podcast is just plain fun to listen to, but the reason why the podcast is particularly better than, say, your average video game podcast is they actually know what they're talking about. The entire cast has great knowledge of the gaming industry and the general Trikens and it. Podcast definitely worth your time if you have minor interest in the game industry or looking for some laughs. I feel like I might have read this before. I might have not, though. Okay, 4-star review from Unlived Phalanx, who is actually in the journalism biz. I believe he writes for a paper. He's part of the video game...
department for that paper. I can't remember what it is. But I know he said he was doing it when he was a student in school. So now he's working with them. He got to visit Retro Studios, which makes Metroid Prime, which is pretty cool. So, and he has a GameSpot profile, so you can check him out. It's Unlived Phalanx, UnlivedPhalanx, and you can pretend that you're a gaming industry insider and ask him for an interview for his paper and then grief him. But no, just kidding. You're just a couple of dudes talking about games. Oh, no. The subject is all you need when you're just a couple of dudes talking about games. I found this podcast refreshing as it reminds me of my own dialogues with friends regarding gaming news and issues. This is for those who dislike the drab nature of a professional podcast but needs all the news from one. Let's see. Got one from Revel. We read that one last time. Dead Zone, we read that one.
That was
one.
Pretty good.
We read that one from Holmes. I can't remember if we read one from Amlabella, who, full disclosure, Amlabella was contributing for us, but we swear to God we didn't pay him to do this. He says, if you're looking for a great video game podcast, look no further. The Try Against podcast keeps a perfect balance between some crazy laugh-out-loud moments and interesting game topics. One problem that I see, though, is that the podcasts are pretty long. This is true.
Yeah.
We were trying to keep it short today. Obviously, that didn't work.
That's because of Tangent City.
Yeah. Hippo! We did read this one. We did read this one from him. Never mind.
We did.
But
yeah,
anyway, Amlabella is now, I don't think he's any longer contributing to us, even though he's more than welcome to. The reason for that is because he is now reviewing for a website called Ace Games. So congratulations to him.
Sweet.
You can read his shit under the name Anthony Labella, and I believe it's acegamez.com or .us, one of those two. If you don't know, you can look up his profile on GameSpot, gamespot.com/user/AMLA. That's for Amla. B-E-L-L-A. Amlabella! It's not a girl's name. His name is Anthony, and his last name is just like that.
Bella?
And then that's why it's, yeah. I don't know. So let me read this message from Unlived Phalanx, who told me what was up with some people's RSS feeds for iTunes. So if you're having trouble with the RSS feed, he says, some of the podcasts do not have release dates, and I'm not sure why that is. I've been trying to figure out why the hell that's happening. So he says, they do not have release dates. This is what's causing the issue for most people who cannot download them, as iTunes can't determine if they're new or not. Huh. And most people, not all, have it set to download the most recent episode only. These are the people who can't hear the show. Hope that helps. Thank you. That does help. So, yeah.
That does. Yeah.
I don't know why it's not publishing the dates. I have to try to figure that out because it publishes
them. You do date stamp them, too.
Yeah. It publishes them for some, and I guess for others it doesn't. So if you want to get it and you still can't see it, take it off of automatic update, or take it off of, like, I don't know what setting it is, but whatever setting says that it will only
search
give you
newest,
the latest
one,
yeah, get newest, take it off of that and see if that helps. Again, I don't know. Episode 79 is not showing a release date, and I don't know why. So
and it was definitely posted.
Yeah, I'll figure it out. But it's up there, and if you can't get it from iTunes, you can always just go to our site, trygames.net, and click on the click on the podcast link on the left-hand side. Soon we will be changing our layout, hopefully, if I ever get off my ass and do it, so it'll be on the right-hand side, but that's probably not going to be for another year. It's on the left-hand side. And whenever...
Well, by that time, we'll have Mercs, too.
Yeah, that's true. But as far as the main front page goes, it's also there when we first post it. So it's always on the upper right-hand side of the front page right when we post it. When we post a new story or a new feature, it gets bumped down a little bit, but for that timing, it's there. You can get it from there, and you can import it into iTunes that way if you really have to have it in iTunes, because I know some people use that as their main player and then, like, put it into their iPod. So, file, import. Actually,
fuck
no.
Chop.
I'm sorry. It's file, file, add
file
to library,
save.
And then find the file, and it'll add it to your library.
So you have to save it first, and then
import. You have to download it first, and then save it. Okay. So, but yeah, I'll try to figure out what that is, but I can't. It fucking fuckity fuck. So, all right, and that's it for the housekeeping. For the absent Ethan, nosing cocaine. For Al.
Hey, I'm moving, bitches.
I'm moving my stuff, bitch. Now I have to go to work. Man, I hate work.
Yeah, I hate my neighbors. My neighbors keep me up. I hear thick throbbing.
For Tony! I've been your host, Mr. Coupon, Austin, and I have been your host. Mr. Austin Koopman. I'm your host.
And you have been redundant.
This is going around in circles because I'm your host.
Tangent.
Bitch. Tangential host dongle dong with testicular seam balls. Maybe.
Oh, God.
Hippopotamus.
Just end it for everyone's sake. This girl gotta get down with the gangsters. Go ahead, girl. Put some back
with the megaphone. While I stand up in the background and check a phone. You know what?
What?
In honor of that, I'm just going to light this match. And I don't smoke. I'm just lighting it for no reason.
Sulfur's good, people. Sulfur's good for the
game.
Brain.
Over.
What the hell?
I don't know.